tonight, I really want to just talk a little bit about talk about the Lord tonight. You know, we as Americans are blessed beyond measure because we have the Bible, and we also have great books that we can read, books like Arthur W. Pink, The Sovereignty of God, The Attributes of God, Gleanings in Genesis. We have the King James Version of the Bible. Still, we can still buy that Bible and read it and study it. And even though we have been taught from childhood, many of us, that God loves everybody, and as we continue to grow up, we are programmed with so many lies. And but the Holy Spirit of God can enlighten us to the truth, and can regenerate our hearts. The Holy Spirit of God blows where it listeth, and no man knoweth the sound thereof. And so because of that reason, when we are regenerated, then we find ourselves believing in the only Son of God, the true Son of God, Jesus Christ, who said, I came into this world not to do mine own will, but to do the will of him that sent me, referring to his Father. And we see that he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the worlds. Hebrews 1:2. If we believe that Jesus Christ has been made appointed heir of all things, and that he is the creator of the world, then the question that we need to ask ourselves is, what should be our relationship to our Creator? He said also in the 8th chapter of Hebrews, the 10th verse, speaking of his children, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. That's a tremendous promise, isn't it? Now, we know that Jesus Christ came in the world, and we know that he had a ministry down here for 3.5 years, and then we know that he was crucified on an old rugged cross, and we also know that he was raised from the dead, and that he ascended back to heaven. And he said right before he went back to heaven, he said, in this same manner will I come again. And so we have the record of Christ himself as to who he was, what his purpose was for coming to this earth, and what the future holds for this world, and also what the future holds for those for whom Christ came and died for on that old rugged cross and was rose again from the dead. And so we see this, that that we have great hope if we are in Christ for eternity, for the future, not only in this world, but in the world to come. And we're looking in the Mark the 16th chapter, and he says, the 19th verse. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and set on the right hand of God. He was received up into heaven and set on the right hand of God. Jesus Christ is ruling and reigning today. He is King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. And one day he will come back as a ruling and reigning king. And not to set up an earthly kingdom. He said, my kingdom is not of this world. But he will come again. And we see in the Matthew, the 28th chapter of Matthew, the 16th verse, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Christ has been given all power in heaven and earth. By his own words, he says that he's been given this power. And if we believe that he's been given this power, then we at the same time must come to a understanding of what our relationship should be to him. Now let's look in Luke, the 24th chapter, and the 45th verse said, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And as he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Sometimes the aspect of the genuineness, the authenticity of the fact that Jesus is not just some theological construct made up by somebody to make people feel good. I've heard people say, religion is a crutch. Well, I'm here to say that Jesus Christ is real. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. One day every eye will see him, the Bible says. And one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we know that not everyone believes that Jesus Christ is truly the Lord. Not everyone believes that Jesus Christ died on the cross to save his people from their sins. Not everyone believes in the resurrection. Not everyone believes that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. Not everyone believes that Jesus Christ can be found in the Old Testament as the angel of the Lord. And that he was right there back in Genesis when the world was created. We can go back to Genesis and we can see that there was evidence that Jesus Christ was from the beginning. He said, let us make man in our own image. And that's in the 26th verse of chapter 1 of Genesis. God said, let us, speaking of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him, male and female, created he them. Christ was a part of that creation. He's a member of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In fact, we find that in Colossians that it says all things were made by him, and there was nothing that wasn't made, okay, by him. Let's go back there and look at that passage. It says that in the first Colossians, the 16th verse, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Think about that. The Son is the one who has not only redeemed us, but he's the one that created us. And all things, whether they're visible or invisible, the scripture says, whether they're in earth or in heaven, whether they're thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him. And here it says all things were created for him. We want to think that everything revolves around us, but I'm here to say everything revolves around Christ, because all things were created by him and for him, and by him all things consist. In Ephesians, we see that he works all things after the counsel of his own will. We serve a mighty, mighty God. And we need to be reminded that he is the awesome creator of this universe. And it says here in Ephesians that the first chapter, the 11th verse, in whom we also have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. And he, in the 22nd verse, he hath put all things under his feet, and they have given him to be the head over all things to the church. So not only is Christ the creator, he's over the principalities, he's sovereign over evil, he's made all things for himself, but as it relates to God's elect, there's something special he's done for us, isn't there? It says that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. And it says that also that he is our peace. He's broken down the middle wall of partition between us, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And he says that God, who was rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in our sins, has quickened us together. By grace are you saved. And he has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, you know, when we get the proper perspective of Jesus Christ, when we see Him as not only our lily of the valley, the bright and morning star, but we see Him as the creator of the universe. We see Him as the awesome sovereign God. Then we will have an awesome reverential respect for God, and we will see Him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We need to see Him as not only our rock, but as also as our King. We are told in Isaiah, the 2nd chapter, enter into the rock and hide thee in the dust for the fear of the Lord and for the glory of His majesty. He says, for the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up he shall be brought low. And the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be made low, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. Isaiah 2:17. There's going to come a time when God is going to show who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we also see that in the Psalms that the psalmist proclaims that Jesus Christ is the owner of His creation. The earth is the Lord's, Psalm 24, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. So, not just the earth is the Lord's, but all of those that dwell therein are the Lord's, to do with what He wants to do with. For He hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend in the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in His holy place? Who is the King of Glory? Well, we know the King of Glory is Jesus Christ. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord of Hosts. He is the King of Glory, Selah. Not only is Jesus our shepherd, not only is the Lord our shepherd, and not only does He lead us beside still waters and restores our soul and prepares tables before us and anoints our head with oil, but we also need to remind ourselves that we should fear the Lord, we should praise Him, we should glorify Him, and we should recognize that we should give unto the Lord the glory and the strength through His name. In the 29th Psalm, it says, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength, give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them all to skip like a calf. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve. The Lord sitteth king forever. And then it ends by saying, the Lord will give strength unto His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace. And so, when we look at what is being taught in our society today, this humanistic psychology, this feel-good psychology, religion that Jesus needs us to let We need to let Jesus into our hearts. We have it backwards, folks. We have it backwards. We can't let Jesus do anything. Jesus is the King. We are His subjects. He's the potter. We're the clay. I recently heard a message from a gentleman who was talking about everything being in all sincerity, in all sincerity, in all sincerity, but probably the most important thing that I got from the whole sermon was he was sincerely wrong. Because he, again, was trying to limit God's power not only over his creation, specifically over evil, that God did not predetermine or decree beforehand all of the events that would happen in the world. Folks, if there's any maverick molecules, if there's anything that is not under the governance, it says all things are created by Him and for Him. That includes demons and principalities and darkness and all of those things were created by Him and for Him, and He's over them. You know, we see this so clearly in Scripture that Satan cannot do anything without God giving Satan permission. Okay? In fact, we even know that Satan is going to be loosed for a season, where it says in Revelation. God has already foretold us that He's going to allow Satan to be loosed for a season. And we also know that there's been times when God has sent evil spirits to accomplish His purposes. We know that He hardened Pharaoh's heart. God is not bound by the laws that He places man under. And we need to remind ourselves, too, that the great Lord and Savior Jesus Christ says, let's look in Ephesians, the second chapter. It says, in the ninth verse, it says, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. He says here, in a nutshell, that all things were created by Jesus Christ, and the principalities and the powers in heaven were all under the governance of God according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's a powerful, powerful thought when we find out that man can do absolutely nothing. He's powerless without God's governance over him. It says in Acts that as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. It says in another place that in Him we live and move and have our very being. And it says in another place that He is over the bounds of our habitation. And so we know in the Hebrews, the fourth chapter of Hebrews, it says, the third verse, for we which have believed do enter into rest, as He says, I've sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. The works were finished from the foundation of the world. Folks, Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of all the elect children's faith. He's the author and finisher of all the elect children's faith. And so we need to have a whole different attitude when we come at, we are being indoctrinated with the doctrines of demons, evolution, Darwinism, humanism, polytheism, Arminianism, all the isms. But we need to look back to the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. If we look in the first chapter of Revelation, we see that it says, "Behold, he," verse 7, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty." Well, do we really believe this? Do we really believe that Jesus Christ created this universe and that he created all things for himself and that all things were made by him and for him? Do we really believe that? I believe there's a lot of people that don't believe that. I believe a lot of people believe that the reason that the world was created was for them. Okay? Now, we are children of the King if we're one of God's elect, and he has given us all things. But we must first and foremost understand that he has put all things in subjection under his feet. And we must also realize that Christ is to be honored and worshipped and respected for who he is. I mean, anyone that can raise himself up from the dead has all power. And we see that in the 13th chapter of Hebrews, verse 20, says, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant." Through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Well, do we want to hold on to the myths that we've been taught since childhood, that God has to have our permission to do certain things, that man is on an equilibrium and a cooperative agent with God? Do we want to continue to hold on to these lies, or are we going to hold on to the Word of God? He says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." 1 John 2:15. And he's speaking here of the philosophies and the vain traditions of the world. He's speaking here of the things that the universities of today are teaching. You know, they are not teaching today a truth found in the Word of God. They're teaching things that are lies. And we need to realize that David, in the Psalm, told us that the Lord was going to make his enemies his footstool. And we see that this is repeated actually in the second chapter of Acts. Look at the 34th verse. "For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, The Lord saith unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool." Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified both Lord and Christ. Lord and Christ. Well, I wanted to take this time tonight and really emphasize that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's not any more a suffering servant. He is not a faint-hearted, defeated victim. Jesus Christ is a ruling and reigning, majestic, all-powerful, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, immutable King. And when we understand that, now He's also a friend of sinners. And we must realize that He is a friend of sinners. He came in the world to save sinners. And He did not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. And there's great comfort for the sinner to know that that's why Christ came into this world, was to save sinners. And He came to save His people from their sin. And so if you are one of God's little sheep, you will repent of your sins. The Holy Spirit will regenerate you if you're one of God's sheep. And you will come to see your own depravity and the fact that you're dead in your trespasses and sin. That's what the Spirit will do. And then the Spirit will actually draw you unto God and impart faith into your heart. But we know that we are told that there's going to come a time when Christ is going to put down all rule and all authority and power. And we see in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, it says that, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall be all made alive, but every man in his own order. Christ the firstfruits, after that they are Christ is coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall put down all rule and authority and power, for he must reign till he put all enemies under his feet. And the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death." Okay? And so, there is not enough emphasis placed upon the sovereign majesty of Jesus Christ. But we know that He is victorious. We know that He has conquered death. And in that same chapter, the 57th verse says, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? This death, sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Death is swallowed up in victory. And so, we need to stay in the Word of God. And we must say in our spirit, "Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord." You know, that's what they were saying for a very short time when he rode on the foal of an ass. And they were saying, "Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest." So on. Well, he is the highest person. And he is the strongest person, and he's the most majestic person. And I'm going to close with this one passage in the Psalms that really should make us contemplate a little bit closer about our own attitudes about Jesus Christ. And we should realize that He is our hope. He is our only hope. And that He reigns in righteousness. And that there is nothing that He is not is hid from Him. And He says in the 18th Psalm, I will love Thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God and my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about, the snares of death prevented me. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of His temple, and my cry came before Him even into His ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundation also of the hills moved and were shaken because He was wroth. Then went up a smoke out of His nostrils and fire out of His mouth. Devoured coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under His feet. And He rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, He did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness His secret place, His pavilion round about Him were dark waters and thick clouds of the sky. At the brightness that was before Him, His thick clouds passed hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave His voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, He sent out His arrows and scattered them. He shot out lightnings and discomfited them. The channels of water were seen, and the foundations of the world were discovered at Thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of Thy breath of Thy nostrils. He sent from above, He took me, and He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity. But the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because He delighted in me. So the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanliness of my hands hath He recompensed me. Well, there's your answer, folks. For who is the Lord, save the Lord? Or who is the rock, save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon high places. There's a great consolation for God's people to know that the Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for who You are. We thank You that You are the mighty Creator of the universe, that You're over all things. All things were created by You and for You, and there was nothing that was created that was not created by You. And Father, we also thank You that You have redeemed us through Your Son, and our hope is in You. We pray that You would help us to continue to focus on the grand and glorious works that You have done. We ask these things for Your glory and Your glory alone. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.